In 1967, I was living in San Francisco. I'd graduated from university, had done 6 months of active duty in the Army Reserves, and had been kicking around, figuring out what I wanted to do with my life. My job was as a counselor, teacher, learner in a War on Poverty project, which gave bright kids, mainly Black and Latino, a chance to have an educational experience that would let them know how smart they were. I had avoided doing anything with the reserves for 3 years. No surprise, I got orders to complete my obligation to the U.S. Army. They wanted me to join a reserve unit, or report for active duty, and finish off the time they said I owed them. By then, I was fully awake to the truth of the U.S. military action against the people of Vietnam. I returned my orders, unsigned. And I sent along a letter in which I denied that the military had legitimate authority to give me orders. I tore up my contract with the U.S. Army and with the United States of America. My next step was to head north. I didn't know how or if I would be able to become a landed immigrant, or if I had a hope of attaining Canadian citizenship. I had one contact in Vancouver and some names of places in the Kootenays where I might find support or protection. I figured I might have to move on to Sweden, a country with no apparent connections to American war making. I didn't have to move on or go underground. My one contact led me to a lively community of other war resistors, both dodgers and deserters, and Canadians who, as their part of the anti-war movement, were helping us to find our way in Canada. We needed a lot of help, and we got it. Getting landed immigrant status was easy for me. I lucked out with the man who interviewed me. He actually helped me find an employment classification that would give me the most points, and he asked no questions about my military status. Of course, I was white, university educated, and can prove that I had $1,000 in cash. It seemed like a lot of money then. Others were not so fortunate, and their military records cost them the points they needed to get landed. After a campaign of effective lobbying by anti-war progressives, the Trudeau Liberal government changed policy so that a person's military status was not to be considered in an application to immigrate. Canada was to be a haven for militarism. A big difference between then and now in getting landed is that it used to be possible to apply for immigration after you had come to Canada, either internally or at the border. These policies back then made it possible for a wave of anti-war ex-military immigrants to roll into Canada. Numbering in the thousands, we are now settled into Canadian society. With pride, I can say that we are a community. We as a community and as individuals have contributed positively to our chosen homeland. I am an immigrant who came here as a soldier of conscience. For over 30 years, I have been a citizen of Canada. I came here because I believed that the U.S. invasion of Vietnam was based on lies and was an aggressive war fought to suppress a popular uprising against an oppressive, illegitimate government. They are back at it again in Iraq. But in many ways, the situation we now face is worse. In Canada, we have a new federal government that is locking arms with the Bushite managers of the American Imperium. Canada is directly supporting the illegal, monstrously destructive U.S. war on terrorism by putting our troops in Afghanistan as part of their coalition. The power block of the military-industrial complex in the U.S. is stronger and more influential than ever before. Political rights and freedom of expression have been narrowed, as seen in the stolen elections, the settling in of the Patriot Act, the new prisons set up to operate beyond the control of any judiciary, and there is no significant opposition from within the U.S. body politic. The only force that can bring an end to the crimes now being committed by the United States and the members of its coalition is a mass movement. If the people speak out loudly, if they shout their opposition in a spirit of disobedience to illegitimate power, then the politicians just might begin to listen. Today, we have come together to hear and learn to learn from and show solidarity with a champion, no, a hero of the movement that will bring an end to the latest war crime committed by the government of the United States of America. I've just turned 65. I'm wrapping up one career and starting a new one. At the same time, I feel in many ways I'm right back where I started when I crossed the border at Blaine just before Christmas in 1967. My contribution to the movement now will be to give my efforts to support those soldiers of conscience opposed to the war against the people of Iraq, soldiers who are coming to seek refuge, a haven, and ultimately homes, jobs, and communities in Canada. Thank you.